And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. It is I, Michael, the Blue Ranger, being joined by our Pink Ranger, Brian.
Hey, everybody, what's happening?
And last time you heard from us, we were talking about we concluded with the episode Beware the Third Wish. We are now wrapping up that arc, that little two-story arc with the Gardener of Evil. We are also doing the episodes Fire in Your Tank and Turn of the Wretched Wrench. So starting right off the bat with the Gardener of Evil, the synopsis on the Ranger Wiki is both the Power Rangers and Divatox's evil Blue Centaurian. The Wild Weeder and his Diva Drone search all over Angel Grove for the third magical wishing coin, which is currently in the possession of Bulk and Skull, who discovered the immense power of the coin while working at a plant nursery. Once Justin retrieves the coin from the duo, he is torn between wanting his father to come home for good and helping the Blue Centaurian return to being good. I say you get your dad back and you can just beat up, destroy the Blue Centaurian, and then just rebuild Blue Centaurian. But that's just me.
That's just you.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Hilariously, for the second episode in a row, the Power Ranger Wiki does not have the plot written down. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Anyways, we return back to the juice bar where the episode ended off last time, where we see Bulk and Skull go to use the coin for the pinball machine, but it actually breaks the pinball machine. Which really depresses me because pinball is awesome.
I love pinball.
I like pinball. Pinball is fun. I can go on stories about how me and my buddies were in North Carolina and we found an arcade bar and all we just did was play pinball, but that's another story for another day. But, you know, so anyways, Divatox isn't impressed with the new monster. Wild Weeder and Bulk and Skull capture and bring Blue Centaurian, my bad. I write BS and then I also write B and S because I don't want to write out Blue Centaurian all the time, but yeah. B and S also stands for Bulk and Skull in my notes.
I was flipping back and forth between spelling Centurion with an S and a C at the beginning, too.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just that on the top of my page, it literally says at the juice bar, B and S, Bulk and Skull. And then I have literally Wild Weeder and BS, Blue Centurion. capture and brainwash citizens to search for the coin. Cassie and TJ see the Blue Centurion and the monster turning the citizens into the Diva Drones. Pretty much the Diva Drones are essentially people who get, I guess they have this pollen thrown on them and then they turn into bees.
Yeah, they turn into the bees from the Blind Melon video for No Rain. And they're searching for the coin.
Yep. So, with that said, what did you think about the concept of how they did the recruiting to get more, in essence, people looking for this coin for Divatox?
I mean, it's more like they got shanghaied into it, you know?
recruited, shanghaied, same thing.
You got this job. And I don't know what it is about this batch of like villains lately where like it's these giant, grotesque, ugly head dudes. I was talking with my partner about this recently, but like, because I was watching an episode with them and it was like the big head kind of reminded me of like that bit in Pee Wee's Big Adventure where like the shrunken head, the regular size head, and then he sees the big head, he's like, but anyways, he's this southern dude who's like got this bag of weeds that he throws on people and it turns them into bees, right? And they start searching. I thought that was interesting. I think the Sentai footage, like the actual bees from like the Japanese version looked more like what I would expect, but I thought it was interesting that like they had this hive mind kind of searching around looking for like one coin because the one coin is so powerful.
Yep. So Rangers end up battling Blue Centaurian and the Piranatrons, and then all of a sudden Bulk, we come back to Bulk and Skull and they're working at a gardening place because they need to work off the debt of breaking the pinball machine.
Yeah.
And have fun shoveling cow poo.
Manure.
Yep. And that's what they have to do. They're pretty much told, congratulations, you're shoveling cow poo, because that is what's used for, you know, what's it called? In gardening.
Horticulture?
No, it's like topsoil and stuff like that. Like, so yeah.
It's rich and full of nutrients.
Yes, exactly. And it smells lovely. But anyways, Carlos and Justin run into Lieutenant Stone, tell them about Bulk and Skull. Bulk and Skull get freaked out by all the diva drones when they're trying to do work. And so the Rangers morph into action to save Bulk and Skull, and thus we have our second battle of the episode already. Bulk and Skull obviously run away. The Rangers are now searching for Bulk and Skull and find Wild Weeder instead. And giant bees, the ones that you were just referring to, attack the cars. Not the Rangers, the cars. And then Blue Centaurian brings out the Rover Racer, and then it's obviously Rescue Zord time, and it's the Rescue Zords versus the Rescue Rover Racer. What was that battle like for you?
I thought it was really cool looking. The five individual Zords fighting against one thing, it kind of reminded me of the Shogun Megazord slash, you know, like the Kaku Ranger footage where, like, it was the five individual Zords fighting. I thought that was really cool. I love practical effects like that. And, like, that's one of my favorite things about Tokusatsu is, like, just seeing giant robots fight each other in a, like, miniaturized city like that. That's one of the reasons why I'm a fan, is just like how cool a spectacle that is. And I thought that was awesome. And it kind of shows also just how under Divatox's spell, how powerful Blue Centurion is, that like he's like, because it's literally 5-on-1 and he's taking them all. And it's like, wow, okay, cool.
It's kind of. Yeah. Anyways, Justin sees Bulk and Skull, retrieves the coin, and then Justin, against my advisement, wishes for the Blue Centaurian to be good again. Telling you, just wish for your dad, just destroy Blue Centaurian, rebuild the sucker, and reprogram him. It's okay. You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah.
But anyways, that upsets Divatox. She makes a Wild Weeder grow, and then the Rangers and Blue Centaurian defeat the monster, and all of the affected citizens are back to normal and probably wondering, how the hell did I get here?
Uh-huh.
And then back at the Wishing Well, Carlos gives Justin some good advice, and Justin's father comes home and he's got a new job in Angel Grove. Hooray! Your thoughts on that?
I mean, is it kind of cheap that, like, Justin does the right thing and then he gets his wish anyways? I mean, maybe sort of, but like, it's also kind of nice that, like, you know, because Justin makes the wish knowing full well he has the power to wish for anything in the world. Bulk and Skull also know this, and they give it up willingly because they're like,
we're gonna screw this up.
We're really gonna screw this up. So they give it to Justin, and Justin has to make a huge decision. Is he going to, you know, save the world and like make Blue Centurion good again? Or is he going to be selfish and wish for his dad back? And without knowing that, like, his dad's getting this job back, he does what is presumably the right thing. He makes a judgment call and he kind of gives up on that. Now, had they made it so that, like, later on, I don't know, like, do you think it's kind of cheap that, like, his dad comes back after that and, like, he gets his wish anyways, or what do you think? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's kind of like the reward for doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Maybe to me,
it's not realistic. Like, it's not realistic. No. I will say that.
No.
But he did the right thing. It's a kid's show and he gets rewarded for it.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like, karma and the universe. It's like, okay, the good that you put into the universe is gonna come back on you, I guess. That kind of
So some quick notes, and then we're going to move on. The Diva drones would later turn up as added grunts in the Lightspeed Rescue video game for the Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah.
The pinball machine Bulk and Skull attempt to put the coin into is called Theater of Magic, which was released by Williams under their Bally label. That is important information for those pinball connoisseurs. And then the sound effects that you hear as Robo Racer blasts the Rangers is from Star Wars's DL-44 and DH-17 blasters.
Cool.
So there's some fun stuff for you Star Wars nerds. Next up on our docket, we have Fire in Your Tank. Which the synopsis for this is, while the parent Power Rangers are spending their day in the forest testing a new booster fuel, Diva Tox runs a monster boot camp looking for new talent, and one of the trainees, called Torch Tiger, steals the Ranger's super fuel and uses it to boost his firepower and create a huge forest fire. And only you can prevent forest fires. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull work as fire spotters in the forest, coincidentally the same day Torch Tiger's forest fire occurs. Poor Bulk and Skull, they just keep getting all these jobs. And once again, there's no plot to write from, so I'm just going to work off my notes that I wrote when the episode is, when I watch it. First off, I love the idea of the monster boot camp. Like,
yeah,
it's like, you know, Diva Tox has had enough of this nonsense. She needs to whip these monsters into shape. Why Rita and Zed never did this, I don't know. I mean, they did the training thing when they did like the Dark Rangers, or the first iteration of the Dark Rangers. And yeah. Then, you know, but like, and I think that was like shortly after Tommy, after Green with Evil was done. But yeah, no, so like I just remember Goldar was so disappointed that he crushed the Red Ranger, you know. More in front of that putty, just completely destroying that putty's hopes. It was so good. But what was your thoughts on the whole monster boot camp for that Diva Tox ran, because she was sick of their stuff?
I thought that was a really cool little touch, and it allowed for a lot of like really interesting, like, because I'm reading the wiki on this, and it looks like there were a lot of like monster suits that they kind of like kit bashed together, and they kind of made their own things. It looks like there was a lot of like Paku Ranger monsters that like went unused maybe, and they kind of did a lot of repainting, and like it was just really creative, and I thought it was a really cool way to like get Diva Tox out of the sub and, you know, do something different. I thought it was like, I don't know. I think Diva Tox recruiting, because we're so used to like, oh, we have these monsters that are created, you know, like with like Finster and like by, what's his name from Zio? I can't remember. But like all these monsters are seemingly always in the back ready to go. So it's interesting that Diva Tox is like, okay, I need to get some new recruits or something. And it's a really interesting, like, different take on, like, how am I going to get my monsters? I really liked it. I think they should do that more.
Yeah. So anyways, Torch Tiger, he's obviously not faring very well, and kind of gets thrown out of Monster Boot Camp. I mean, he couldn't produce fire. He did not perform under pressure. Let's just put it that way. Don't worry, guys. It happens to all of us. But but he goes out and he actually runs into the Rangers where they're testing their super fuel, steals some, and then he, you know, starts blowing fire. What do you think? I mean, going before you get the Torch Tiger, what do you think about the Rangers like just happenly to be happenstance in the same area as Monster Boot Camp and being completely oblivious to it, doing their own thing?
I had no idea Angel Grove was that small.
Or that big.
Yeah, I mean, it narratively, you know, it makes sense to like put them near one another because, you know, otherwise plot doesn't happen, I guess. But I don't know, I feel like there was an opportunity there because TJ is flying. It's not like they're just driving around and like they can't see the forest for the trees, quite literally. It's literally TJ is up in the air, flying around in the lightning cruiser, and he doesn't see, hey, there's a giant boot camp full of monsters just roaming around the park. So for me, that felt a little like, okay, like he just didn't notice that. I guess it's a
And note also, the Rangers are having a picnic at the same time. Torch Tiger comes in and tries to attack the Rangers. As the Rangers morph and chase the monster, but they end up going back to the Lightning Cruiser afterwards, Elgar and company try to kidnap the Lightning Cruiser.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, they end up getting all the fuel. Losh is. So here's a funny thing. Carlos is motioning. But Justin is talking. Like you see Carlos doing something, but it's Justin talking. It made no sense. But anyways, Torch Tiger uses the booster fuel to start fires with his bike, and the monster now drinks the booster fuel and he becomes fired up. Interesting note, in the Japanese footage, he actually inserts the super fuel into his body through a fuel valve intake, which is clearly not seen in the Japanese footage of him. Let's see here. Rangers learn of the fire because only you can prevent forest fires. Yes, I've said that for the second time now. And it's rescue Megazord time. Divatox loves the booster fuel and sends the monster to fight the Rangers. And TJ saves Bulk and Skull with the Lightning Cruiser because they didn't realize that there was a fire, even though that was their job to be a fire spotter. Good job, Bulk and Skull. And then Divatox makes the Gronster grow, and it's rescue Megazord time for the win. Yeah, that was Fire in Your Tank, just my notes. Any thoughts, comments,
I mean,
addendums?
sure, I've got a few. Like, first and foremost, who I don't know who Torch Tiger is supposed to like resemble, but I was like, that looks so familiar. I don't know who it was
Torch
though.
Tiger to me feels like he's supposed to be like one of like an Evel Knievel stuntman
Yeah.
style driver or something like that.
Kind of, sort of.
That was the vibe I got. But like I like the fact that he was like a pretty much starts as a failure, ends as a failure. Just like a good monster should.
Yeah. Bulk and Skull, this episode, they become Rangers, but Forest Rangers. They become Park Rangers, not Power Rangers. And they're tasked with like looking out for fires. And one of my notes was like, what was it? Oh yeah, Bulk and Skull are fire spotters for the Park Rangers and have to look out for anything unusual. Good thing wildfires never happen in California. But
Dumb Tish.
yeah, oh God. But so it's kind of a boring job for them. So they're listening to music on headphones and they're reading Big Bad Beetleborg comics. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I completely forgot about, you know,
That's
Beef Fighter.
still a thing.
Yeah. I was like, are these the same comics that the kids are reading in the, okay, that must be. That's kind of cool. Maybe they could have become Beetleborgs. I don't know. Anyways, so they literally don't realize what's happening until they start smelling smoke. And I'm like, they're not this the Bulk and Skull are not this oblivious. You know, like there's a wildfire happening. They literally saw like a baby going down a hill and were like on it. So like I don't know, maybe they were just bored and like the threat of fire wasn't that big, but it was like, come on guys, like really? Like they're so oblivious this entire episode. It was like Bulk and Skull have kind of been infuriating the season.
Yep.
Because you know that they can do better.
Well, they will try in our next episode of Turn of the Wretched Wrench, which sees Ashley take a class in auto shop, or an auto shop class, grammar works, to prove to her father that girls can do anything boys can, but her lucky wrench given to her by her teammates to encourage her efforts is stolen by the maniac mechanic. And meanwhile, Bulk and Skull work for a local towing company in Angel Grove.
This episode was interesting.
It was interesting. I mean, so obviously Ashley takes this. It all starts because she is. It starts because she's in the car shop class with Carlos and they aren't doing very well. And Ashley then is driving and she's having car issues. A tow truck arrives and it's Bulk and Skull. Because who else? Elgar and the goons show up and attack Ashley. And Bulk is oblivious while Skull hides in the tow truck during this fight. Bulk and Skull take Ashley to the juice bar and TJ with an insensitive gif while Ashley is feeling down. Thanks, TJ. You're a jerk. But anyways, the reason that Elgar and the goons, I just call them the goons, it's easier, attack Ashley in her car is because he actually brought up a handyman monster and they steal parts from the car to go build their own, like, car. Thoughts on that before we hop into the next bit?
I mean, it's an interesting bit, and it's interesting to me how many, like, different vehicles we already see. Because, like, one of the things I forgot to mention about the last episode is that Diva Tux gets her own flying car, and it literally has the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang wheels, or the wings, on it. But this time, it's like, she's like, the whole reason this guy is even around is because he's like, I'm here to fix your periscope, and he's able to fix it. And then he mentions, you know, I can do all kinds of things. I can build whatever for you. And she wants, like, this battle wagon thing, which looks like a knockoff 89 Batmobile. And this guy is, like, I don't know what it is about, like, these villains. Like, they just look so grotesque later on in the season. But, like, I think... I got a question for you. Was Ashley ever showing any promise of being an auto mechanic earlier in the season at all? Probably not.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I bring this up because I just pulled up the Car Ranger Wiki episode, like, for the episode. And it looks like the synopsis of that is Natsumi, the Sentai Yellow Ranger, loses her will as a mechanic when her prized wrench is taken by a monster to become a wrench of ultimate evil adaptation, which is hilarious that they say adaptation on that. But so they had to work around that. So I guess that's why Ashley is all of a sudden a mechanic.
Yeah. But anyways, moving on real quick. So Diva Tox sends the handyman monster down and he turns himself human. The teacher has a talk with Ashley and offers her extra time to work in the garage. To which then Ashley and Carlos are attacked by goons while the monster makes Diva Tox battle wagon. Because obviously the monster, when he turned himself human, joined the class.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm holding in a sneeze.
How dare you?
Ashley and Carlos morph after Manny, which is the name he went by, unveils himself as the maniac mechanic. Justin shows up to pick up Los. Car chase battle, which is extended. And I'm talking about a extended car chase. And then Ashley ultimately destroys the battle wagon. And then Maniac Mechanic grows. And it's Rescue Megazord time for the victory. I thought it was creative to have a monster turn themselves human. We actually see that again, actually, in two episodes later in the Song of Confusion, where a monster turns themselves human. for thing. So it's not like, and I think the last time we might have seen something like that was when Scorpina disguised herself as a classmate of Angel Grove High in like season 2 of Mighty Morphin.
I seem to recall that.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice. I mean, but yet again, Scorpina also had like a human form, but none of the stuff on her, you know, none of her armor or anything like that. She just looked like a normal person, you know, that blended in. So it was kind of nice that they did that with the mechanic having Manny just kind of blend in.
Yeah. So. I was thinking, by the way, who Manny looked like. And to me, he looked like Rick Mile in Drop Dead Fred. He kind of looked like, he also kind of looked like the Sixth Doctor from Doctor Who. And he was really eccentric. And I've always liked villains that are able to blend in. It felt like this one, like he wasn't trying to like integrate himself necessarily with the Rangers. He was literally just trying to like sneak in. Which is fine, and you only have so much time to do whatever.
Well, I mean, he had to blend in because he has that moment where he meets the professor.
Yeah.
Or the teacher, and he meets the class.
Yeah.
As the new student. So, like, he does have to blend in.
Sure, but, like, he doesn't have to, like, integrate himself with, like, the Rangers or anything like that.
So, yeah. That's true. You know, yeah.
He literally just has to pass as a human in order to get where he needs to go. And I love how upset he was that like Ashley's gonna be there after hours, because he's like, "Oh man, I can't do what I need to do now." Crap. So that was an interesting wrench in his plans. See what I did there. I thought this episode was fine. It was fine. I don't know if it's like, it's definitely not the best episode that we've talked about. I think. It's fine. I don't know. My one thing is, like, I guess Ashley at the very end, like, she finally learns how to work on the engine or whatever, and she helps out Bulk and Skull. They say, like, we have to get this job in, like, 10 minutes, and then they fix it, and they're like, well, we were told that an hour ago. And so they continue this thing where Bulk and Skull get fired from all these jobs.
But on the plus side, Demetria and Alpha 6 don't appear in this episode.
Oh, thank God. yo, Rangers, let me help out with games and blah.
No, we're going to keep you off the episode completely. this is also the final appearance of the Chromites. The one will pop up in Power Rangers in Space, flashes of dark Darkonda in the background on Onyx.
Mm-hmm.
So they have Darkonda, which is not to be confused with Wakanda, and it's in the background on an Onyx from Pokemon. Okay, cool. Just as long as we're on the same page here. despite the episode airing on Halloween, this episode isn't a Halloween-themed episode.
Kind of a bummer.
Interestingly, while Ashley is driving at the beginning of the episode, I didn't catch this, so you have to probably go back and watch it and see if you can catch it. But while Ashley is driving at the beginning of the episode, the song Tommy was rehearsing in Power Rangers Zero, Another Song and Dance, can be heard playing on her radio.
I thought it sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it.
Yeah, so that was Turn of the Wretched Wrench. Do you have any final thoughts as I get the sign that says we have 10 minutes left to record because Zoom wants you to pay to have meetings now?
Why Zoom? Why? I mean, this was obviously an episode that they had to use footage from Car Ranger to make sense of something. And this felt like they were trying to put like a square piece into a circle hole. You know what I mean? It felt like, because Ashley doesn't the reason why this kind of might be able to work is that we don't know a whole lot about Ashley yet. These are new characters, so they could establish like, oh, okay, cool. I guess like they're gonna take like a, you know, auto shop course or whatever. That's fine. It's not like with Tommy, where like all of a sudden he's, you know, he's a race car driver for whatever reason, and then like he leaves and he's like, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to race anymore. I'm actually going to become a teacher, but whatever, or a doctor. So like you have room for them to like play around with like, okay, like let's see, what does Ashley want to do, like, or what is Ashley being pushed to do? And it makes sense, I guess. I don't think she sticks with it. That's the only problem I have, but whatever. It's Power Rangers. We think about this up way too much.
Yeah.
So, again, one last thing. Like, these villains are so freaking ugly.
They ugly, and then Mama dressed them funny.
Oh my god! Like they look like they got beat with an ugly stick or something. Like, they are grotesque looking. Like, this dude's got like a big old fat lip, and he's got like a huge like.
They decided that they didn't want to sell monster toys, so they had to make them as ugly as possible to keep them out of stores.
Now, I don't know if that's just like Car Ranger, like, because it was like a parody season. They were just like, well, we're just going to make these villains like weird looking as possible. But like, man, like this dude is weird looking. We've had some weird looking like villains of the, or monsters of the week recently. So, this episode was fine. Definitely not the one I was most excited about, though.
Yep.
Do you have any other thoughts?
Nope. So with that, all right, well. So with that, Brian, where can the people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek. You can also find me on TikTok at BlueRangerB_Rye. And when I am not talking about Power Rangers with you or Ben or Sasha, I am working with the Castwave Studios folks. We currently have a show out called Two Fat Guys Eat. Go check it out. That's kind of where I'm about. It's on the internet nowadays. Michael, where can we find you on the World Wide Web, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, and on my website, txhthockey.com/X75Productions. And then for the show specific, it is at @VFTG_PR on Twitter. And then just click on the link for our link tree, which will take you to everything. And I mean everything that VFTG is on. So with that, until next time. Oh no, until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.